I mean, I still, in a way, feel like a tourist, though, because I spent so much time away. And when I come back, I really have stars in my eyes for the city. And I feel actually more enchanted with New York now than I have in a really long time.
Welcome back to NYC Local Guides. I am your host, Jennifer O'Brien, and I interview New Yorkers from creatives to CEOs and everyone in between. For more NYC resources like ebooks and videos, visit nyclocalguides.com. If you've ever wondered what it takes to be a New Yorker or just want to hear some crazy stories, keep listening.
This is a Brooklyn-bound 2 express train. The next stop is...
Megan Morrison grew up and went to business school in Canada and then saved up to attend FIT in 2009, and a year later started her own blog and her unique niche as a travel illustrator for herself, combining her three passions into her brand, Travel Right Draw. Over a decade later, living in New York City, she is also based in Williamsburg. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
Yes. So first, tell us more about why you chose New York City and FIT as a place to build your career. What drew you to New York City?
Oh, I think it was love at first sight, truly. I was thinking about this morning on my walk over. I must have come here for the first time when I was about 14 or 15 years old. It was March break. I was still in high school. And my mom and I took a girls' trip here for spring break. And I remember we stayed at a hotel on and around Central Park, Fifth Avenue. And I felt like I was in the center of the universe. It was just everything. It was intoxicating. The speed, the intensity of it, it just felt larger than life. It still does. And I think from that day forward, I remember coming back to Canada after the trip and telling my friends, you know, like, I'm going to live in New York City one day. That's going to be my home. And a lot of them were like, yeah, right. And then, of course, you know, fast forward, this has been my home for 10 years. In terms of FIT, it's interesting how that kind of came to be because, as you mentioned earlier, I went to business school in Canada. And at the time, had really no idea how to combine my loves of, you know, illustrating or rather painting and fashion and travel. I mean, I had no idea that there was even such thing as fashion illustration as a profession. And it wasn't until I was working in the fashion industry in Toronto after business school that, you know, speaking with coworkers and just asking tons of questions that one of them had mentioned to me FIT in New York. She did publishing on the side. So she kind of had that knowledge of illustration. And when I looked up the program, it was like a light bulb moment. When I saw, you know, 2 years associates specifically in fashion illustration in New York City, I just thought, this is it. And from that day, that would have been about 2008, mid-2008, that I found the school, and I kind of just devoted the next year to saving money and applying and getting my ducks in order.
That's awesome. I'm so glad. Oh, I can't imagine you without FIT and where you are now. Like, where would you be? It's crazy. And then how did you get your first job after FIT?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I faced complications inherently being Canadian and not being an American citizen because that poses a whole other like set of challenges and hurdles. But I had 1 year sort of after graduating you're permitted like a work permit for that 1 year. And I think I started interning at a trend forecasting company that we were introduced to as illustration students. And so I already kind of knew of them in that way and thought that would be a really good sort of intro into the industry. And they picked me up sort of right away. And from there, they saw my skills, basically. And I ended up going from intern to paid sort of freelancer within a matter of weeks and started doing all of their like trend sketches for the season for all their clients and things like that. So that was the first sort of like more consistent thing. And then my first editorial commission was actually because my blog was featured by Flair magazine in Toronto. And I connected with the art director after they featured the blog and kind of pitched doing the illustration for their horoscope page. And so, and they loved my style. So I ended up doing that. That was like my first published work. So
that's awesome that you pitched them after they featured you. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good way in.
Exactly. That's so good. Any advice for someone who's looking to come into fashion and come to New York when they're first starting out?
Yes, I'd say, you know, you have to be persistent as all, because this is a tough city to break into, as I'm sure most people already know. I mean, the saying, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, I really believe to be true. Yeah, so I would say, you know, but be sincere about it. Don't just be like an opportunist about it. I think just be really sincere, be consistent, be persistent, and ask tons of questions. Because I think, you know, it takes a minute to sort of figure out your place in the industry. There's lots of different ways to contribute to fashion. I don't know if you were asking specifically about my industry, but yeah, I think there's, you know, there's so many different, like whether it's sales or PR or design or, you know, photography, styling, illustration. I mean, there's just so many different ways that you can go with it. So I think be open-minded, ask tons of questions, and work, work.
Yes, it's so true. You have to work so hard to make it, really, in so many different ways. And networking, and I like that you say it, not as an opportunist, but in a genuine way, is so key. And then how did you transition from that full-time job into doing your own blog full-time?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I often get asked that. It took a while. I was probably working full-time after FIT for about 3 years, and it was that 1 year first after graduating that I was doing the trend forecasting, and then I was at a handbag company, and then from the handbag company, I ended up going to an accessories company in Midtown that they did a lot of like private licensing for Henri Bendel when it was still open, and BCBG, Max Azria, things like that. And I think while I was there is when Instagram really started to become something. I mean, there was many years, if you can believe it, where it didn't exist.
No way.
When I was still working full time, it was becoming harder to maintain the blog, obviously, because just putting out that level of content, and it was hard to keep up. But Instagram became sort of the alternative for me, because it was easier to just post like a piece in progress, like a half done work of art, just to show like my creative process, what I was working on. And that sort of became like the thing that kept the fire burning for me while I was sort of, you know, going to both ends. And I started to accumulate more and more followers. Designers were reposting my illustrations. Street style people were reposting my illustrations of them. And so I really started to pick up momentum again. And it made me, like feel like this could really be my full-time thing. And I think it was a confluence of factors where I'd hit the ceiling with how far I could go in my job with that particular company. And this feeling of like, look, I came to New York to be an illustrator. This is what I want to do. And it's sort of like, it was a now or never moment for me. And I had accumulated enough followers and clients through Instagram that I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to take that leap of faith and go for it and jump. But I would say, for anyone who's making that decision for themselves or considering when the right time is, I mean, there's no prescription formula. It's totally personal. And I'd say it doesn't have to be so black or white. Like my first offer to the company when I was leaving was, I'll come in a couple days a week and still work freelance for you guys. Like I'll do it on the hourly. I'll help consult with the new person you're going to bring on board full time as we transition out of this. It very quickly became like, I'm flying to Moscow next week. I can't stick around. And then it was like Bermuda. And then it was, you know, so I couldn't actually keep up with that. But it doesn't have to be so black and white. Like I'd say, keep your stable income until you actually can't manage to keep that anymore.
Yes, and save up so much money, because I think so many people make the jump before saving and then maybe it doesn't work out and they don't realize that they're not going to get money for a longer period of time.
Right.
A lot of times I don't see money until 60 days later, and it's frustrating. Yep. It's a longer process, but it is worth saving up money so that you have a stable backup, you know, go back to pay rent and keep it going.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when people ask you what you do, since you do so many things, what do you say?
I say that I'm primarily a fashion illustrator. I mean, I don't just illustrate fashion. Obviously, travel is my biggest source of inspiration, but I would say that I do it through the lens of fashion illustration. Everything that, you know, even if I'm painting a landscape, it has that fashion flair to it. So it's a bit of a stylistic thing. And I would say that, you know, my clients really range from the fashion luxury to travel luxury sectors, and those collaborations could look like anything from, you know, painting from Formula One race in Abu Dhabi,
yes,
to designing, you know, original artwork that's going to go on cosmetic bags. So, yeah, I mean, primarily illustrator who works with those types of clients,
yes,
basically.
And yeah. I love that you do a little bit of everything and you find a way to tie those fashions together.
Yeah.
Do you think you could have started this in any other city, like back in Canada, or would it have been the same?
That's such a good question. I think that was such a huge factor in me moving to New York. I just felt like if I'm going to do this and if I'm going to launch my career, I want to do it in the biggest city possible because from there, anything will, it sort of opens those doors inherently. I mean, case in point, like when I'm featured in a major publication here, the international iterations of that magazine will also feature it. So New York is sort of that top of the mountain. I mean, I'm sure there's people who would dispute that and feel like London is or Paris is or whatever, but I really believe that to be true. And I think with all the traveling I've done in the last 10 years, that seems to be time and time again, you know, like there's a certain clout and respect level that comes from making it in New York, truly. It's like, I don't think, well, yeah, I mean, especially at the time when I moved here and Instagram wasn't what it was and blogging was only starting to come into its inception, I don't think it's necessarily that anymore. I think if I had been living in Toronto at the time when Instagram is at its height, like it is today, where people are getting discovered at all corners of the world, I don't know if it would have played out this way. But with timing being where it was, that this was the option for me to be in the epicenter, to have access to, you know, meeting with these people firsthand, art directors, creative directors, the designers, PR firms, things like that. I mean, that's having those personal connections is super important also. It can't just be online all the time.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. And then why travel, write, draw? Some people say pick one niche, but you blazed your own path and you created your niche within that. That it's been amazing to follow. I remember following you from the very beginning and you've just constantly been so genuine.
That's
I love
so
it.
Sweet. Thank
yes,
you.
Seriously. I really love and appreciate following you. And what made you start it around those three things?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, in truth, I don't think that I'm an expert in all of those arenas. I think I named it such because, well, I mean, the origins of Travel Write Draw started, I went to Dubai back in 2010 as an illustration student. My then boyfriend was working in finance there. And so I went out to sort of see his life and, you know, he worked pretty much the entire time I was there. So I was kind of left to my own devices. And it was then that I started thinking about, I want to cultivate a life like this for myself, where I get to, you know, travel the world and, you know, be inspired. And I thought Dubai was just, I still do. I mean, it's one of my favorite cities in the world. I was just so enchanted by how different it was and all the contrasts of the city. And for me, I didn't want to just travel. I didn't want to just draw from it. I wanted to be able to talk about it with a community. And so that's when the formula of like Travel, Write, Draw really started to come together. It was almost like this is my process of osmosis, or, you know, of creation. I travel to a destination. I write about it. I meditate on it. I share those thoughts with my friends through emails and stuff, and then produce a work of art. So the blog was really, yeah, that process of creation, and it's just turned into what it is today. But in truth, I mean, I'm by no means, I do not consider myself an expert journalist or writer. I would say that my writing today is really like micro blogging on my Instagram, because I spend a lot of time putting heart and thought into my captions. But yeah, that's really where the name came from.
Yeah, and I love your captions, and I love that you connect with your audience and you really tell them, like, even if you're not having a great day, you're like, sending you love. You know, recently you said that, and I was just like, this is so beautiful. And I think that that is what Instagram was founded on, and I love that part of it. And how have you, you really do respond to, I think, every DM and every comment.
I do.
Yes. How do you continue to have that really awesome bond with your community, that there's such a dedicated fan base?
I just think it's so important. I think I consider it like any relationship. I mean, no friendship is a one-way street. And if it is, then it's not a good friendship, you know? And I feel so lucky and fortunate that I have people who care about me and my journey. So I want them to feel heard and acknowledged. And, you know, I'm not in this for, I don't know, I just want to make a positive difference. I want to make a positive impact in people's lives. I mean, I think in the beginning, I don't know that I thought so much about beyond wanting to travel and illustrate and have like a community to share that with. I don't know if I really thought so much about like, where's the value add? What do people get from this? And I think the more I've matured with my profession, I can't help but think about that because the space is so saturated and there are so many illustrators and travel bloggers. And like, at the end of the day, what do people take away from following me? I want them to feel inspired. I want them to feel joy. I want them to feel like they are seen and they're not alone and that they, you know, are just like me, that they can do anything and more, you know? So it is really important for me to keep that as I grow.
I love that. And what are some obstacles that you've had and how have you overcome them?
Oh my gosh, so many.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to like, you know, compare your insides to someone else's highlight reel. I see that kind of caption time and time again. It's like, you know, where it's so hard not to like look over your shoulder and see what other people are doing or whatever. Obstacles, as I mentioned a little earlier, I mean, not being from the US posed a whole other, and I won't go too deeply into that because I'm not an expert on immigration and things like that. And fortunately, it all worked out. But that was certainly a challenge, you know, like I'm not this type of profession where it's very cookie cutter and like, you know, you have an employer, they sponsor your green card. I mean, it like to make it as an artist is hard enough as it is. But to make it as an artist when you're not even from the country you're making it in becomes even more challenging. I'd say other obstacles are being, you know, a one-man show. I have people that I, you know, who consult with me. I have a, like, there's a loose team, if you will, but at the end of the day, like, it's all riding on my shoulders. I'm the catalyst and the propeller of the whole business. And God forbid something happens, like, there is no business. So feeling a little bit vulnerable in that, to be honest, and wanting to find like ways to insulate myself against that. Because as an entrepreneur, you're basically like an athlete. Like if you're sick, the whole thing falls apart. Particularly when you are both the creator and like a personality as well. Other challenges. Yeah, just not enough hours in the day or just feeling like time is just moving so quickly. I just feel like every month just blows by and I just find myself like every hour down to the minute these days is just like, I can't slip up. It's every minute counts to get things done. Otherwise, you know, I won't be able to like submit for a deadline and get on a plane by Saturday. So
yeah. And then how do you have time for balance and like just to be, to like try to enjoy New York?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were joking earlier that I don't know that there is any balance. But one thing that I do really commit to is exercise. Like that for me, I try to start my morning as many mornings as I can in a week with going to an exercise class. I truthfully don't really wake up until about 11 a.m. That's when my brain starts to fully function. Before that, I'm likely to send like an email that doesn't seem coherent at all in my native language.
Well, thanks for coming over at 10 a.m.
I knew I had to get the iced coffee. That was my brace to just like wake up.
Awesome.
But yeah, I'm committed to exercise. That's an enormous pillar in my life because it's like one area of my life that really doesn't have a direct connection to my online presence or, you know, but for me, it's really about connecting my body to my mind, to my soul, to the ground, you know, to feel like grounded in my own self and like meditation, things like that. In terms of finding spare time to like go and explore New York, I mean, that is so schedule dependent. Last year, I mean, I was barely here, to be honest.
Because of the travel aspect of it, that makes sense.
And I think, yeah, for a number of reasons, I really wanted to experience more extended periods of time in other places. Like I've spent a lot of time in London and have like a really strong, solid friend group there, which, yeah, I mean, less and less, I feel like I have that here, unfortunately. So my balance almost comes from like spending extended times in Dubai, spending extended times in London, spending extended time in Toronto with my family. So
yeah.
it's a work in progress.
Absolutely. And then we were talking about this earlier. What if Instagram was gone tomorrow?
Yeah.
I feel like you're in a better state than most people, but what would you do? What would it be like?
So crazy to think about. And I don't know, maybe I dreamt this last night where it was this feeling of like, especially with TikTok making such a like impression these days. And I thought like, what if it does become obsolete? As I mentioned with when we were chatting before, like my business started before there even was an Instagram and there was already a business there. And that's the business of making art for clients. And I still have a really strong client base that, not that they don't have interest in using my social, but that's not like really a factor in why they're hiring me. They're hiring me because they love my illustration style, and that style can help to reposition the way their brand is perceived. So there's still a whole business to be had. And I would say the good news is that my name and my brand awareness grew through social. And if that goes away, there's still an awareness there. There's still my blog there. I mean, TravelRightDraw.com still exists. MeganMorrison.com still exists. So, and it's especially why I wanted to maintain my website, because I thought this is my hub. Should anything go awry, this will always exist and people will always be able to find me in Google search.
Yes. So, yeah. It's so important. And you mentioned TikTok. I really like exploring and trying TikTok, and it's still in the new stages, but I feel like it's so great for creatives. Have you gotten onto it yet?
I'm on it and I've been seeing what people are doing. But for me, I'm just like, I feel like it would be a lot of time taken from valuable time that I need to make my business sustainable and run more smoothly for little payoff. You know, yeah. At the end of the day, does TikTok really serve my community? Is it a value add? Do they care to see me, you know, making little dance videos to, I don't know. I mean, I already post sort of funny content every now and again when I'm traveling and I happen to like be dancing on the streets somewhere. So I feel like you can still imbue that style of content without necessarily having to be on that platform. And, you know, I had a consultant once say to me, like, you don't have to be everywhere. I think, you know, it's like being everything and everywhere, you're less and less to fewer and fewer people. Like, yeah. Just choose who you're, you know, once you know who your audience is and how you're serving them, like, that doesn't make sense for every brand.
Yeah. No, I respect that. And I love that answer. I think TikTok is still in the growth stages. Mm. And I still see people who are on TikTok saying, follow me on Instagram. So there is still that value in Instagram.
And if I'm to be totally honest, I think that Instagram will end up wiping them out somehow, just like they did with Snapchat. I really feel that. I feel like they'll come out with something that's just my inclination. Yeah. Obviously, I have no like way of knowing that, but...
But they did do it to Snapchat in a lot of ways.
They completely wiped them out when they did Insta stories.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder. I think TikTok has amazing video
and
editing.
Vine, like that became obsolete as soon as they started adding video. So I don't know. I mean, it's an ever changing landscape.
Yeah.
I'd say at the core of it, just focus on who you are, what you're doing, what you add to the space, and what makes sense for you, your community, and your brand.
Yeah. And now that there are more and more illustrators, how do you stand out?
I just stay true to me at the end of the day. I think no artist in the space integrates travel the way in which I do, which is like, it's a storytelling. I feel like I really take my followers on like a full immersive experience. It's, you know, me on the ground sort of doing video content and showing the inspiration that I'm seeing. I've had a lot of followers say to me that for them, it's a little bit, I mean, I say this with the most respect. I don't ever think that I'm like him, but he's one of my greatest idols, but they feel it's a little bit of that like Anthony Bourdain style of just like being on the ground, meeting with locals, connecting as people heart to heart, and through that lens of like, you know, with him it was food, with me it's art and culture and fashion. So kind of delving into a destination in that way and sharing that journey. A lot of people feel like it's an escape for them. They get to experience that destination with me, even if they haven't left their house. And then ultimately to produce like a work of art that honors that destination. I don't know anyone who's doing anything like that. I say this in the most, like, I'm not trying to be like,
yeah,
you know, I'm saying that in a humble way. It's just what interested me and what comes naturally to me. I find myself less and less enchanted with, like, I love fashion, but I'm sort of falling out of love with the industry. And for a number of reasons, the impact on the environment, I think at a time when we should be, you know, progressively inclusive, it is still an industry that operates on making people feel like they're outsiders and they're not welcome. That is just the truth of it. And, you know, that doesn't align necessarily with my core values. So I think for the artistry of it, I find that beautiful. And like the style and the lens of that is still there with me. It's in even how I dress myself personally. But yeah, I think focusing on the travel end of it is really what makes me stand apart.
I love that. And how do you select brands that you want to work with and stay true to your brand?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate in a lot of ways that still to this day, I don't do very much pitching, actually. A lot of it is like these brands come to me and they come to me because they feel aligned. And I think 9 times out of 10, the brands that are coming to me, I also feel aligned with. If I don't, yeah, it typically doesn't work out, or if we can't find a way to make it make sense, then it's just not a good fit. Yeah, and I think that's really important too. And I get that feedback from clients that the reason that they do like to work with me is that because I'm not out there working with everybody. You know, I'm very selective about who I want to align with. I don't want to repeat myself or go head to head with, like, you know, other brands that are competing with one another. I mean, you have to navigate that very delicately because I want loyalty with clients, and I don't want to ever be seen as disingenuous or insincere in what I'm doing. So all those things factor into, yeah, who I align with.
I love that. I'm so glad to hear it because I agree. There are so many people that unfortunately say yes to too many things,
yeah,
and then it becomes all about, you know, one day they recommend this brand and then the next day it's a similar brand, and
right,
you never know,
like,
what's
going on. Exactly.
Yeah, and believe in.
Funny enough, like, there's a cosmetic brand that I worked with very recently, and they said to me that I generated the most traffic to their website of any influencer they'd ever worked with. And they've worked with beauty bloggers who have upwards of millions of followers, but at the end of the day, I don't talk about a lot of beauty brands. So if I'm working with them and I'm wearing their product and I endorse it and I believe in it, it's because I really believe in it. I'm really wearing this product. It's changed my skin or whatever it may be. And that says something, that I'm not a beauty influencer, but my audience cares about, they trust what I say.
Yes, there's so much about trust there. Even having a business background, having, you know, the best way of saying these things and presenting these things, mm-hmm, I think definitely helps. I've also had that response where people are surprised. They're like, wow, we got actual bookings. Like,
yep,
we definitely need to work together. And it's because I think so many influencers don't think through how they select,
yeah,
and build that trust. I think that trust that you have with your audience is so unique and so strong. It's important.
And I'd say that's something that I also, you know, I feel like brands need to become a little bit more aware of that as well. I think so often they get a bit disillusioned with, like, oh, well, this, you know, this influencer, their photo performed really well on our feed. But that doesn't necessarily translate into heads in beds or product,
yes,
bought or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that also, I think on the end of, like, the client end of things, like, just be aware of that. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
what's the real ROI on that?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. So over 10 years later, do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
Yeah, I do. Becoming more settled within myself and working through maybe some stuff I felt unresolved about, maybe emotionally or whatever, and just being away and then coming back, and like, it's made me appreciate New York a lot more, for
absolutely
sure. Yeah.
And then, what do you define as a New Yorker? Are there any stereotypes, good or bad, that you have for New Yorkers?
Yeah, there's definitely some quintessential, you know, New York personalities, or, you know, certainly with the accent. And if I catch things on TV, I'm like, oh, that's so New York. Or I think Cardi B posted something the other day. Like, she posted this thing and she was like, you know, I opened this door for this girl and she walked through and she didn't say thank you. She said, as you should. And I just thought, that is so New York. Just the expectation, like, you're doing the honor. It's not thank you for holding the door. It's like, well, as you should hold the door. Like, that's a very New York thing. And I love that. It's no holds bar. It's very, like, in your face. And that's what makes this city so dynamic.
I love that. That's a good story. So previously we've talked about on this podcast, like, having, like, little badges, like, quote unquote badges of, okay, you know, I can sleep with the honking. I can deal with the crazies in Times Square, things like that. Oh, do you have any like experiences or badges that made you feel like, I'm officially a New Yorker?
I would say my first badge was when I survived Hurricane Sandy. That was really traumatic, in truth. I was living in the West Village at the time and didn't have power for about 5 days and was sort of like, you know, sleeping on my friend's floor on the Upper East Side with 10 other friends because none of us had power. I mean, that was literally insane. That was terrifying. And being away from my family when that was happening was so scary. So that was my first, like, real, I was like, man, I survived Hurricane Sandy. Other than that, I mean, I think, like, at this point, I've been through, I don't know, 5 visas or something to stay in the country. And I just, like, to have gotten to this point in my career where, like, I can live, like, a really nice life doing what I love in this city makes me feel like that's a badge, you know?
It's a huge badge, yes.
Because I think, you know, it's not extremely expensive. I mean, we were talking about rent prices earlier and, like, the cost of living and stuff like that. I mean, it's not easy. Everything here has a cost, has a price.
Any apartment horror stories?
Well, my situation now is very good, thankfully. But there was a time before I got this place that I was living with someone. I was in it, like, a 3-bedroom, like, 3-girl situation when I was still an illustration student before I did this full time. And I had one roommate who, you know, she had lived there for maybe 8 or 9 years. And I think she just became a bit closed off to, like, the outside world and sort of lived vicariously through the TV. So every time I came home, she was having full-blown conversations with the television, which was a little odd. And it was, like, in the kitchen. And so it made it hard to cook and things. I mean, just stuff like that, you know. It's just like, it wasn't necessarily a horror story, but, you know,
we all have crazy roommate stories.
I think just crazy roommate stuff. And just, like, I know that's so common here because it, you know, it is what it is. The city is, like, the, you know, finding apartments. I mean, thankfully I haven't had to do that in a long time because I've been in the same place for a while. But yeah, I think that's pretty common here.
Absolutely. Yeah. it's crazy. So do you have a favorite neighborhood where you've lived?
I loved the West Village. I mean, that was an amazing experience for the time in my life that I was there. I think, like, in my young 20s and just, you know, going out all the time. I mean, I was out in the Meatpacking District. I was Lower East Side, the bars in West Village. I mean, it was perfect for what it was, especially, like, walking to school and FIT every day along 7th Avenue. And, like, I can remember seeing Sarah Jessica Parker one morning with her son walking him to school, and, like, the paparazzi was out. This must have been, like, 7 in the morning or something. It was really early, and I just remember seeing her with her son, and, like, there was a horde of photographers that were running, like, ahead of her, and I was like, what is going on? So it was always really exciting, like, being in the neighborhood, because I saw her a few times, and, like, it just felt like you were truly, like, that is the epicenter of New York, you know? I really love Williamsburg. I think it's really well suited to the time in my life that I'm at now, and I just want to be a bit more calm and, like, feel like I've left the craziness of the city for the day, and I come back and I'm like, oh, decompress.
Yeah, I love that. And then we have the lightning round.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Oh my gosh. So let's start. Favorite New York City classic food?
Classic food. Well, I love, there's a place called Motorino Pizza that's in Williamsburg that has, I think it's, like, the best. My mouth will water over Margarita Pizza. So I would say, like, their margarita pizza is divine, and that's what I crave.
I haven't had that in so long. I need to go back. Thank you.
But you know it,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know it. Yeah. Why haven't I gone back? I don't know. Do you have a favorite dessert spot?
I like Milk Bar in Williamsburg. Yeah. I think they do, like, that like birthday cake or whatever. Yes. There's, like, those little truffles in that flavor, and I'm like, oh my god, sometimes I really crave that too.
Absolutely. No, I'll walk by there, I'm like, do I need sugar? Yes I do. Do you have a favorite ice cream spot?
Oh, there is one. It's in and around Union Square. The name has slipped my mind, of course, but it's like kind of between, it's Greenwich Village, West Village area.
What do they serve?
It's like, to me, it feels like an Italian gelateria, whatever, however you pronounce it. But they the way that they do the ice cream, it's almost like it's a flower, like on top of the cone.
Okay, so it might be Amarino?
Yes.
No, I've gone to all of them and I love them all.
I like, they have like a caramel flavor that has like crunchy caramel on top. I mean, it's very, very good.
Oh, so good. And then do you have like the most expensive thing you've ever eaten?
Oh my goodness. I feel like it probably would have been at like a Daniel Blood restaurant of some kind, somewhere on the Upper East Side. I can't think of like a particular dish, or like, what's that, like 111 Madison? Or
yes, 11 Madison.
11 Madison.
Yes.
I'm so bad with names.
Yeah.
But that was really amazing also.
Awesome. And then least expensive meal?
Probably somewhere in Chinatown doing like really proper dim sum and like soup dumplings.
Yeah, that's so good. Oh, love it. Favorite hidden gem?
I would say, I mean, somewhere probably along, I mean, it's not particularly hidden, but I love being along the Hudson River. I'd say like right by the water on one of those park benches and just like stay. I like that feeling of, you know, because everywhere else you look in New York is a concrete jungle, and then being able to have that like wide open water.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that so much. Okay. Favorite Broadway show?
Favorite Broadway show. I really loved the one about the witches. What's that?
Yes,
one?
Wicked. I love Wicked.
Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. My recollection of names, like my brain just can't hold it all. But yeah, I love Wicked. I saw it with my mom and my sister, and I just spent, I think, the majority of the time in tears. I thought it was so moving.
It was so beautiful. I've seen it three times. It's bad. It's, I don't know why I've seen it three times.
And that's something like, I think when I came with my mom back in the day, we saw Aida, and like, so going to see Broadway, I mean, that is just such a New York thing to do, to be in Times Square, and like, yeah, it's crazy.
And I've said it before, but my favorite hidden gem about Wicked is that they actually do a behind the Emerald Curtain, and you can see it for $35.
Wow.
You get to meet the like a couple people in the cast. Yeah, and see the costumes and like,
so cool.
Learn about it. It's so cool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Favorite building in the skyline?
I would say the Chrysler Building. I mean, the Art Deco of the exterior is just so beautiful, and it just feels like, yeah, it's like a glimpse into the past of, I mean, that's the cool thing about our skyline, is that it goes from like the peak of modernity to its origin. So
yeah. Have you painted the Chrysler Building?
I'm sure I have in one of my illustrations. I've done a couple like New York skyline illustrations. I've got to do more. I mean, that's the funny thing, like, because I live here, I don't draw from it in the same way that I do from other destinations, but people do love seeing New York imagery and stuff. Yes. So,
oh, I love it. Do you have a favorite park?
I mean, Central Park.
Yeah.
I know that's very like, yeah, but I mean, that to me, just when you get off, there's that one subway stop, which is like just above like Bergdorf's, and it's like you come out and you're just right at the start of the park. It's just so beautiful, and it still takes my breath away. And like, as I said earlier, spending as much time away as I have and then coming back, when I see stuff like that, it's still, I'm like, I can't even believe I live here. And it's been 10 years.
Yeah. And did the 10 years go quickly or fast? What was it like?
I mean, on one hand, yeah, it just feels like the blink of an eye. And then the other hand, I'm like, I feel like I've lived 9 lives in that time. So,
because it's so fast paced.
It is.
Yeah. Favorite bridge?
I'd say the Brooklyn Bridge, just driving across the Brooklyn Bridge and like just seeing, like, I mean, that whole skyline is just so divine.
Agreed. Favorite museum?
I would say the Met. I'm a big fan of the Met. My first year living in New York, I was kind of on the cusp of Upper East Side, just the start of Harlem, I guess. I was at 100th and Lexington, and I used to go and like just sit on the steps of the Met on the weekends and just dream. I didn't have money at the time to travel because I was still a student, so I felt like I could see the world through the museum.
That's wonderful. And did you have a favorite part of the museum or piece of art?
Yeah, I mean, I always loved the contemporary stuff, but the Egyptian section also, I mean, that's, I just, I have like a big love for ancient Egyptian artworks, and yeah.
Same. I dream of going one day soon.
Yeah, yeah, I went like, I don't know if it was like 7 years ago or something. Oh, like, wow. That. It was awesome. Like just unreal. Top five trip of my life.
Favorite subway station?
Favorite subway station? I would say Union Square. I mean, first of all, it's super convenient coming in from Williamsburg.
Yes.
A. But B, I just like, I love getting out there and just seeing, like, you know, in the center, there's like the markets, or, you know, all the people that are walking around. And I love all the shops that are like in and around there. I mean, that also feels like very New York the minute you step out.
Yes. Right. And I just learned something that not a lot of people know. Did you ever realize that those red frames around the mosaics and those like eagle like chunks of old wall, they actually have mirrors in them? Next time you're there, look at the mirrors. Yeah, and there's written in there like a line of poetry or information about what they are.
Oh.
Yeah. I had no idea about that until like a week ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So next time you're there, like look in those red frames. Yeah.
Cool.
It's everywhere and I didn't realize that it was even there. It's so crazy. Like New York constantly surprising me. And then do you have a favorite famous New Yorker in general?
I mean, I mentioned her earlier, but I'm a big Sarah Jessica Parker fan.
Yeah.
I love SJP.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I was talking about this, a good guy friend of mine from college, like he was always obsessed with Sex and the City. I mean, he's now an amazing journalist in Toronto, but we talk about it all the time. I think it's one of the most intelligently like written television shows of all time, seriously. I mean, having lived here now for 10 years, when I watched those episodes that were filmed back in 1998, it still resonates today. And some of the things that Samantha says in that show, like where she projected or forecasted things would go in terms of like gender and sexuality, I mean, it's all coming true. And the show was done, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I think that they were, yeah. Anyway, so yes, I think, when I think of Sarah Jessica Parker, I think of New York. Yeah. And I think of her love for the city and kind of preserving its beauty. And she's such a, like, hallmark of the West Village and for all the, you know, small businesses there. So, yeah.
Do you have a favorite New York City quote or song?
I would say, yeah, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Yeah. I stand by that. And I, you know, for as frustrating at times as that can be, I believe that to be true.
Agreed. I love that. It's so
such
accurate.
A test of character.
Yeah.
It's not meant for everybody. And I would say there's no shame in, like, if this doesn't resonate with you, that's totally fine. You know, it's not for everyone. It's definitely not for everyone. But for the people who it is for, it's like, you know, you're a lifer, I think.
Yeah. Favorite dive bar?
I don't think it exists anymore, but my favorite dive bar back in the day was Max Fish.
Oh, that's a badge that you've loved a place and it doesn't exist anymore. It happens
so
often.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite speakeasy?
Not that I can't remember, no. I mean, I used to go to them when I was much younger, but I can't remember them anymore.
Favorite free thing to do?
Walk.
Yeah.
Walk the city. I mean, that is the beauty of New York. It's such a walkable city, more than any other city I know. I mean, you can't even walk to this degree in London. London is way more spread out. There's cities like Dubai where you have to be in a car to get anywhere. I mean, that is the joy of New York. Yeah.
I agree. Favorite expensive thing to do?
I would say I like going to that, I think it's called Air or RA, like that ancient bath that's in Tribeca, where you go underground and you can go into these different like thermal pools and salt baths and stuff. I mean, that is such an escape from like, you feel like you're in Istanbul.
I love that. That's such a good one. Favorite season?
Spring.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Which is funny because I'm born in the fall, but I just think I love the idea of rebirth.
Yeah. And craziest thing you've ever seen in New York?
Oh my gosh. I mean,
could be many things. Go for it.
I've seen some crazy things, but I would say on a more positive tip, just the serendipity of certain moments that have happened here for me, where, you know, if I just saw an exhibit of like a particular artist and then I walk into like an event the next day and they're standing right there and I start having a conversation with them, like things like that, where would that happen in any other city in the world? I don't know. I don't think so. Where you just like, that is the magic of New York. Yeah. It's like you could just turn the corner and like your greatest hero is standing right there, or like the next big like break for you, or you know, there's a lot of like hustling dreamers in the city and a lot of people who've made it. So I think that combined together just makes for a lot of magic.
Yeah. And have you ever been scammed or robbed?
No, thank God.
Great.
Knock on wood.
Knock on the wood.
Actually, yes, I was. I was not robbed, but I was scammed by this woman in the West Village who pretended to be like a psychic oracle type thing. And she approached me in Starbucks and she said something to me that actually was true. And like no one knew except for like my mom and dad. And that was freaky. And she was like, if you give me $400, like I'll like, you know, remove this curse or whatever it was. What? It was something super crazy. And I was just like, you know what? It reminded me of that moment in, well, to reference Sex and the City again, when Charlotte goes to see like a psychic. She's like, what am I getting married? And she's like, I don't see it in the cards for you. But like, if you pay us this much money, we'll be able to like remove the curse of you not getting married. And I just thought, yeah, I mean, that was like the one time I've had a scam happen to
me. It's not even that bad.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
Yeah. So what do you wish was different about New York?
You know, I don't know if I would want anything to be different. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I wish I had laundry facilities in my apartment. Yeah. Like, I wish that were different. But at the end of the day, it's like, I accept things as they are. And I think part of what drew me to New York is that I am constantly challenged here, and I'm someone that needs to be challenged. I felt like I was spinning my wheels back in Toronto. So, you know, it is what it is, and I'm here for a reason, and I like being pushed to the absolute maximum of what I can achieve. So
I love that. And describe your dream New York City apartment, or maybe you already have it. I don't know.
No, I don't think, I definitely don't have a dream. I'd like an elevator, and I'd like some laundry facilities. I think about this a lot, actually. I visualize it a lot when I do my morning meditation, and I'd love to have like a big open space, probably in the city, like a high rise, lots of light, lots of open windows, like floor to ceiling windows. I'd love to have like a nice studio space in there and like a big walk-in closet, big living room with like tall ceilings. I mean, I can visualize it. I hope one day it comes true. You never know.
I think it will. Thanks. Beautiful. Yes. Describe your life in New York City in like 30 years. Will you still be here? What would that look like?
That's such a good question. I think New York will always be a part of my life. Whether I'm here like 6 months of the year, 3 months of the year, I don't know. I think I always want to have an apartment here and just be a part of New York. That is for sure. So I think in 30 years, I will still be connected to the city, either in a full-time or part-time capacity. Yeah, and still, I mean, doing what I can to really like endorse the city and to like keep the art community, you know, like exciting, and like whether I'm mentoring people or I'm like doing my own fine art career by that time, which I actually think could very well happen, where I just sort of like distill all of this down to like painting my large abstractions. Like, you never know, you know. Yeah. But I think that's part of it, and I would love to have my family here, like as in husband, children, that whole thing.
Beautiful. And are you working on anything now that you're allowed to talk about? What things can we look forward to?
Yes. So I have two very exciting projects that I just signed contracts for last week that we've gone through the concepts yesterday and they've been approved. So that should all be rolling out in the next little while. I can't say much more than that. But in terms of what I can talk about is that I leave for Santiago, Chile on Saturday, and I'll be traveling through Chile and Peru until the 24th of March and creating from that trip. So I look forward to sharing that new journey.
Oh, I can't wait. That'll be so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Any last words of encouragement or inspiration?
I'd say, you know, one thing I've learned in all these years of working for myself is that you have to be your biggest champion, and things don't just happen out of nowhere. Like, it's when practice meets opportunity. So I endorse working harder or smarter, not harder. So work smart, but work, you know, like that's just been the formula for me. This, none of this has come easy by any means. I had no connections in New York when I got here. I had no one working in the industry that I knew. My parents are from a small town in Ontario, Canada. Like this all came to be because I hustled my butt off. So
yeah, that's
great. If you want it, go for it.
Great advice. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Where do we follow you and find you?
So you can follow me daily on at TravelRightDraw, my Instagram, also my blog, TravelRightDraw.com. And for my portfolio site, I'm MeganMorrison.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more NYC resources like ebooks and videos, visit nyclocalguides.com.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.